Everyone, welcome back to another episode of Into the 99 Podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I am your necromancer with all the answers, NecroZag, joined by my two lovely friends, Dan and Lotus. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, doing well. Bit of deja vu, but doing all right.
Yeah, it feels like we did this a couple times, right, before we started?
Yeah.
I'm doing good, too. Zach, how are you this week? Yeah, there's a few issues with the initial recording, so sorry.
I'm doing well, Dan. It's preview week, so it's always a good time here.
Yeah, we've got, today we're talking the Crimson Vow spoilers. Obviously, most people have seen them. Pre-release was this weekend. Yeah, we just wanted to go over the list because I think there's a lot of really good cards. The overall thought, I think that all of us kind of like it. My initial thoughts are, I'm not a super big fan of the legendary creatures that I saw, but I'm going to look through it and maybe I'm wrong and stuff, right? Zach, what was your initial thoughts with this set?
So I was more hyped about this set than Midnight Hunt. Not to say that I didn't like Midnight Hunt, because I really enjoyed it. But I just think there's a lot more things here that I'm more interested to build around and build with. As opposed to Midnight Hunt, there was just like a lot of cool stuff, but nothing that I was just like instantly like, oh, this is what I need.
I like that. Lotus, how did you feel?
I still don't know what's in the set bar what I drafted. I say drafted, what I had in my steel pool at pre-release. So still quite a lot of this is new to me. I know there's a Sorin and a Thalia and some lands and a wedding announcement. And that's about it.
Yeah, you get it. John and I will be doing the story shortly here as well, just to go over what's actually happening in it. Because in a lot of the cards, you see some pretty crazy spoiler things like Edgar being back. Edgar Markov.
Yeah.
Also, the insane price spike on that card is bonkers. It's like $180 right now.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Edgar Markov's crazy right now.
Yeah, it's... I've seen
the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way more than the Judge Foil. The Judge Foil is probably also up there.
I'm getting one in a month, so I'm just going to quickly do a Google.
Well, before we do that, let's just jump right into the set here. We're not talking Edgar today, we're talking this, and I think you wanted to take this very first one.
Yes, the very first one. I played against it, so I know it exists, and it's scary. Averbrook Caretaker. It's 4GG for a 4/4 human werewolf with Daybound and Hexproof. It has an ability at the beginning of your upkeep, on your turn, put 2+1/+1 counters on another target creature you control. That's already powerful. But on the Nightbound side, it is a 6/6 with Hexproof. Other permanents you control have Hexproof. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, put 2+1/+1 counters on each creature you control.
This one's pretty nuts, yeah.
This goes out of control so fast.
Well, and especially triggering on combat, right? You get its value immediately the first time you put it out.
Yep. 6 mana for a 4/4 and then 2+1/+1 counters somewhere else.
Well, and yeah, a Hexproof, very, very difficult to remove this one, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's actually one of the better cards in the set. What was the werewolf guy's name from the last set?
Tovalar.
Yeah, I'm making a Tovalar deck, and I'm going to have this for that, obviously. You can't not.
Mm-hmm. No, I've already wanted one of these now. As soon as I saw it and had to play against it and lost to it, I want one.
Yeah. Zach, I'll let you go with this next one here.
All right, this next one's really cool because it's actually part of a cycle in this set, the Cemetery Creature Cycle. It's Cemetery Desecrator, 4BB for a zombie with menace. When Cemetery Desecrator ETBs or dies, exile another card from a graveyard. When you do, you choose one. Either remove X counters from target permanent, where X is is the mana value of the exile card, or target creature and opponent controls gets neg X until end of turn, where X is the mana value of that exiled card.
I really like this cycle as well. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, I think this card's really neat. The creature type is definitely super relevant right now. Being 6 is pretty big, or pretty mana intensive for a 4/4, but with its abilities, I can definitely understand. Like, the graveyard hate and the creature removal seems pretty solid.
You can also, like, hate out a planeswalker with it, which is really good.
Right.
With a lot of these low, like, mana cost planeswalkers currently in standard, that is like a pretty big deal.
Well, it's nice too because it's an ETB or dies, so yeah. That means we can cheat it in for much cheaper than the 6 that, you know, most people would try to pay.
Well, yeah, reanimating it, you still get it, and then if it dies, like, you're It screams like a Zach flavored card, right? Like it, mm-hmm. it gives you value at all points.
Yeah, this is a card I'm definitely looking at picking up for a deck we're going to be talking about next weekend.
Yeah.
Having Menace as well, you wouldn't be sad about just swinging, hoping someone would block it and kill it.
It's I think all of the Cemetery sets pretty cool. The next one in it is Cemetery Gatekeeper. It's a vampire, one in a red. It has first strike. It's a 2/1. When it enters, exile a card from a graveyard. Whenever a player plays a land or casts a spell, if it shares a card type with the exiled card, 2 damage to that player. I actually really, really like this one for group slug decks. I pulled one yesterday, and I immediately slotted in 2 Yurlok so that I can just exile lands and make it so every time everyone plays a land that we lose our life.
And that frame on the alternate version is just stunning.
Yeah, I think it's really cool artwork, too. I really like a lot of the artwork. They did some amazing themes in this.
Yeah, for sure.
Lotus, I'll let you take this next one here.
The Cemetery Illuminator. 1 blue for a 2/3 spirit with flying. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, exile a card from a graveyard. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. Once each turn, you may cast a spell from the top of your library if it shares a card type with the card exiled with Cemetery Illuminator. That's pretty decent.
I really like that card. Mm. It's very good for controlling an opponent's graveyard. Like if somebody has, all of these are great, like mini graveyard hate ones, because there is a lot of graveyard themed stuff, especially with zombies being so popular right now. Who doesn't play from the grave, right?
Right.
But even just being able to hit one of your own, like if you just have an instant that doesn't matter in the graveyard and you're in a blue, like instant matters deck, like Talrand kind of style. Getting rid of one of your old instants so that you have that ability to look at your top card and possibly cast your top card once a turn is really, really good.
Well, this would even be good with the new, one of the 2 new commander decks we're getting, because it's a spirit tribal feel. Mm-hmm. So just being able to pop this guy in and exile a spirit that you don't necessarily care about to play spirits off the top of your deck, pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to take this next one because I really like this next one. It's Cemetery Protector. It's 2 double white. It has flash. It's a soldier, and I love the soldier's tribe in general. It's a 3/4 flash, which is pretty good stats body-wise and speed-wise. When it enters, exile a card from graveyard. They all share that. Whenever you play a land or cast a spell, if it shares a card type with the exiled card, create a 1/1 human creature token. I really, really like that. I love token generation. I think this is just a phenomenal card for soldier deck.
I like that it has flash.
Yeah, not something white usually gets.
No. And a 4-mana 3/4 is not something to worry about.
Yeah, I thought Zach would like this next one.
Yep. It's Cemetery Prowler. 1 green for a 3/4 wolf with vigilance. When ATBs or attacks, exile a card from a graveyard. Spells you cast cost 1 less to cast for each card type they share. Yeah, each card type they share with cards exiled with Cemetery Prowler.
Yeah, that's the silly one. I actually really like the card type from graveyard mechanic thing. I recently rebuilt like a Mimeoplasm deck that was like full ooze themed and like put like the Tarmogoyf and then like the new I call it Blobmogoyf, like the new Tarmogoyf ooze. Like I put those in, so it's been really fun to play with stuff like that. This card is awesome. Like it just on attack it's good, on ETB it's good. Just the mana reduction that you get alone, even from a standard standpoint, if you exile a creature with this, you're getting a 3/4 at 2 mana the next time you cast. That's amazing. A 3/4 vigilance.
I'm even thinking of adding this in Tovalar.
This is going to Wolfguard for me for sure.
You know where this is going for me. There's just a lot of utility in these cemetery creature cycle. It's really, really cool. I was curious when I saw the first one, and then we were told in advance that it was going to be part of a cycle.
Yeah,
I was curious how they were all going to kind of play out, and none of these feel underwhelming to me. The white one, I mean, typically, like, when you look at a 5-color cycle, the way things have been, normally it's like, oh, how's white getting screwed over?
Yeah, the white's kind of...
It's still, like, I probably wouldn't play this in a solo white deck, but, like, a white-green deck, which is probably where it would shine. Like, a Sigarda deck or something like that, where whenever you play a land or cast a spell.
Yep.
Like... And you probably would play humans. Like I think all of these are very, very powerful. If I opened any of them, I wouldn't be upset.
Well, I'd put this like first into like a Karametra style deck. Like that's the one that I pulled one yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's where it's going. And just because the cast Karametra already fetches me lands on cast, this fetching me like humans like on my landfall or on my cast. Just a phenomenal addition to that kind of deck.
I like the cycle quite a bit.
We got a few good planeswalkers. I think they're pretty good, at least. The first one. You want to take this one?
I love Chandra Dress to Kill. Especially the alternate art, because it kind of reminds me of Catelyn Everdeen from Hunger Games. Kind of that flaming dress. But anyway, it's one red for a 3 loyalty Chandra Planeswalker. Its +1 is add red. Chandra Dress to Kill deals 1 damage to up to 1 target player or planeswalker. It has another +1, exile the top card of your library. If it's red, you may cast it this turn. And its -7 is exile the top 5 cards of your library. You may cast a red. You may cast red spells from among them this turn. You get an emblem with whenever you cast a red spell, this emblem deals X damage to any target where X is the amount of mana spent to cast that spell. This is just Torture Defiance, but mini, and I love it.
I think it's a solid card. 3 loyalty starting at 3 is nothing bad. 2 +1s.
Yep.
Like, I really like it.
Card advantage, mana advantage, and the ultimate is game winning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. The next one, I'm not a giant fan of, because it's too pushed. It's too much. I get it. You guys like green in R&D. It's the Cultivator Colossus. It's 4 triple green. It's a plant beast. It's star with trample. Power and toughness equal to the number of lands you control. So obviously already good in a land-based deck. And then when it enters, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. If you do, draw a card and repeat the process. Like, why are we getting stuff like this? You have 1 bounce land, you can draw your whole deck. It pairs so easily with an Amulet of Vigor. Like, it's just your Lotus Cobra, your infinite. I get it. We understand. Green go burr.
Yeah, and it's even worse when you combo it with Abundance. And then because Abundance will keep getting you the lands, after you've got your last land out of the deck, you go for 1 more trigger. And Abundance says put them all back on the bottom in any order you want, so you organize your deck in any way you want.
But that's like I don't even think the Abundance combo is as good as the Guildless Commons. You just bounce until you draw what you want.
Yep.
Then you play like any of the new cards that lets you dump all of the land from your hand. And like literally all I'm going to do if I do build this is I'm going to put Amulet of Vigor, Mana Bond, and then like a bounce land in and draw my whole deck, discard it with a Kozilek, and have every land in my deck in play for 7 mana.
Yeah.
I get it. Like it's the, I don't know. I saw it initially and like, I like Landfall. I really, really like Landfall, but this is the kind of stuff that makes people whine about like a Landfall. Like this is the kind of stuff that people cried. So Golos got banned over, right? Like this is the kind of Landfall that isn't really the great kind. Like anything, Lotus Cobra, any of your landfall cards are going to trigger amazingly. This card, obviously, it's a great card if you want to play it, super exciting. But like, I don't know. I'm a little over the like specifically overpowered card, and that's what I find this to be.
Yeah, I don't see it getting banned, but I'm not going to be running it myself because I just think it's not fun.
Well, like I look at it as like, what's the drawback on the card, right? Because I think a well balanced card should have like a little drawback. Some, it's like we talked about the Menace Zombie, right? It's 6 mana, so it kind of is kept in check. But this is your 7 mana in green with a landfall ability. So it's already the person who has the most lands out of everyone, right?
It's coming out as a 7/7 minimum.
With
it's going to replace itself. That's the big thing.
Yep. Well, and
when
it enters the battlefield, you can put a land from your hand onto the battlefield tap. So it already, literally, this is the whole reason that they like Golos, you got to fetch a land, sure, but this, again, you would just hold until you have one of those bounce lands or abundance things. It's going to do way more than Golos would. And sure, you could say Golos was from the command zone. I have a lot of strong feelings about Golos. But yeah,
I don't like
let's move on.
We'll go to the next one here.
All right, we're on Faithbound Judge. One white for a spirit soldier. It's a 4/4 with Defender, Flame, and Vigilance. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Faithbound Judge has two or fewer judgment counters on it, put a judgment counter on it. As long as Faithbound Judge has three or more judgment counters on it, it can attack as though it didn't have Defender. Disturb, 5 white. As backside is Sinner's Judgment. It's an enchantment. It's an aura curse. You enchant player. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a judgment counter on Sinner's Judgment. Then if there are three or more judgment counters on enchanted player, on it, enchanted player loses the game. If Sinner's Judgment will be put into a graveyard from anywhere, you exile it instead.
I like this.
I really, really like this card. I like specific player lose cards because there's a lot of ways that people right now can like lock it out with like a pillow fort. You can't get through with attacks. You can't get through with damage. Mm-hmm. They have a glacial chasm solemnity kind of set up on the field, right? So I really like stuff like this where it's just like, okay, well, here you go. And I like White's timer to extinction, basically.
So if you exile Sinner's Judgment, it exiles. And it goes to exile as Faithbound Judge, or does it go into exile as Sinner's Judge?
It would go back to the front face, but it would be exiled as Faithbound Judge.
Love that.
Yeah, so you can still fetch it. I like it. The next card I really, really liked. It's actually, I think, my favorite card of the set. Maybe I'm wrong and I'll see something else and remember. Oh, no, there's not. It's my second favorite card of the set. I know my favorite card. But it's Hallowed Haunting. It's 2 white for an enchantment. As long as you control 7 or more enchantments, creature you control have flying and vigilance. That's already phenomenal. It doesn't even need anything else. That's a great enchantment already for a pillow fort. It's not high cost. It's on your white theme. It's not different mana color, so it's difficult. You can include this in a lot. It's a great card. But then, whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you create a white spirit cleric creature token with its power and toughness are equal to the number of spirits you control. This card's bonkers. This is like my favorite card, second favorite card of the set, but for different reasons. But like, oh yeah, as soon as I saw this, I was like, yes, because I have so many Enchantress-themed decks, right? There's so many things that are very popular in this theme right now. We've got like our Tuvasas, we have our Sithis, we have any of those, like a lot of people do the Constellation-themed decks, right? This is just a phenomenal card, and that's what I was saying about this set when we first started this episode, was I just really liked what they brought out to it and stuff, right? Nothing, minus the Cultivator Colossus, seemed like super overpowered, but a lot of it's really fun. It's really like inspired me to want to edit decks
again. Yeah. I like the fact that the original creatures grow with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder why Spirit Cleric?
I don't know, but I love Cleric decks. I have Cleric decks that this works in. I got multiple Spirit decks. I just love this card.
Yeah.
It's a very cool one. I'll let you take this next one here, Zach. I think you like this one.
All right, so I can't pronounce her name correctly.
Henrika, the Domnathy.
Thank you. 2 black for a legendary creature vampire. She has flying. She's a 1/3. And then at the beginning of combat, on your turn, you choose one that hasn't been chosen. Each player sacrifices a creature. You draw a card and lose 1 life, or you transform her. Backside is Henrika, Infernal Seer. It's a legendary creature vampire, 3/4. Flying, Death Touch, Lifelink. 1 black. Each creature you control with flying, death touch, and or lifelink gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So we have a legendary Vampire Nighthawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I had this in my pre-release kit. I always chose the last one and transformed it straight away.
Yeah. Like, it's phenomenal. It's really cool because you can just do a bunch with it. Like at the front side, it reminds me a lot of Wrinkle, which is very cool. And then the back side is, like I said, a Vampire Nighthawk. So you can either build this as like an attrition style deck, in my opinion, or you can be just a straight Voltron like aggro based deck and have people block in the worst possible ways. Like, you know, you just have this 1/1 death toucher that you're not going to do anything about it. It's going to become a 2/1 and just slowly chip away at people.
Well, yeah, on its backside, the flying death touch lifelink at 3/4 for 4 mana. That's again amazing stats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think this would be a fun vampire commander to build around, right? Like right now there's kind of a few that you go to, and I think that this would really be like a fun like palate cleanser vampire deck.
Well, and like I said, if you didn't want to go vampire, you can easily do a bunch of just like creatures with evasion that no one wants to block.
Flying Death Touch or the Lifelinkers.
Exactly.
I actually hadn't read the next card at all. I'll let Zach take this one. Or wait, Zach took this one. Lotus, you take this one.
Jacob the Hawken Inspector. Human Advisor 02. Ooh, another advisor for my advisor's deck with Bruvac. Tap. Draw a card, then exile a card from your hand face down. You may look at that card for as long as it remains exiled. You may pay 4 blue-blue. If you do, transform Jacob. He's a 0/2 and he goes into a enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top card of your library face down. You may look at that card for as long as it remains exiled. Okay. Once during each of your turns, you may play a land or cast a spell from among the cards exiled with this permanent without paying its mana cost. Oh.
I think that's super cool.
That's just mini omniscience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and like, that's the kind of stuff that you would be exiling, right? Is like an omniscience, and I really like it. I would run like some Paradox Haze kind of Sphinx of the Second Sun effects to really just double those upkeep triggers up and exile as much as I could.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually a cool commander, and the alternate art and the Eternal Knight showcase art is really good.
Yeah, I love all the alternate arts for this set. I don't think there's been a single card where I've been like, meh, at least art-wise.
This next one, Kea, I think is just nuts. Kea Geist Hunter. One white, one black for a 3 loyalty starting planeswalker. Awesome. Creatures you control, it's +1 creatures you control, gain death touch until end of turn. Put a 1/1 counter on up to one target creature token you control. That's an amazing +1. That is an aggro, like, lose your board to my... Because let's be honest, this is going to go in, it's Orzhov, it's going to go in like a bunch of like tokeny kind of decks, like your Taysa, like your Alenda, your Krav Regnas. This is going to like smoke people because they're going to be swinging with their like spirit tokens or their whatever junk tokens, and having them get death touch till the end of turn on a +1 is silly. Then it's -2 until end of turn if one or more tokens will be created under your control, twice that many tokens are created instead. It's an Anointed Procession on a -2. Where can you go wrong, right? Like, this is amazing. Amazing as a card. And then it's -6 is ruthless. It's -6 is exile all cards from all graveyards, then create a 1/1 white spirit creature token flying for each card exiled this way. Not each creature exiled this way, which would have still been a great card. Every card. So you have, right now, we've got people filling their graveyards with zombies. Mill is a popular mechanic in a lot of metas. Like, this is a card that can just go nuts.
This is a good upgrade to my current standard deck with the other Kaya. She puts ghost form counters. When your creature dies, return it to your hand and make a spirit. This just makes 2.
Yeah, this is really good. It's a really, really good card.
Yeah.
Lotus, I'll let you take this next one.
This is the one I do know about. My other half, Richard, he was so excited to pull this. This is one of the only cards he wanted because it's a dragon. Mana form Hellkite, 2 red-red for a 4/4 dragon with flying. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, create an XX red dragon illusion to creature token with flying and haste, where X is the amount of mana spent to cast that spell. Exile that token at the beginning of the next end step.
I would have loved if this was legendary. It would have made a really cool deck.
I mean, roll 0, but still, yeah.
I also think it's really, really good for like Obika, where I just end my turn anyways. There's a lot of really good stuff for Obika in it. I'm finally going to finish it. I keep putting Obika off. I'm sorry. You should.
It's so fun to play.
Yeah. All right, Zach, you get the next one, of course.
I want to take the next 2, if that's fine.
Go ahead.
All right, so this was the card that I saw that made me most excited about this set. It's Necro Duality. It's 3 and a blue for an enchantment. Whenever a non-token zombie ETBs under your control, create a token that's a copy of that creature. There's so many fun things that I already do with cards like this, and I don't want to give too much away because there's a deck that I'm working on with this, but this card is just nuts. It being 4 for an enchantment is perfectly fine. Its mana cost and how it's costed with 3 and a blue means it's going to splash into any kind of zombie-based deck or multicolored deck very easily, and there's just so many cool things you can do with it. I'm very excited to break this card.
I think it's a silly card.
Yeah.
For an effect like this, I would have thought it had been much more expensive. Like, if this would have been 7 costed, I still would have been like, this card's insane. But at 4, it's just so nutty.
And it's not even when they're cast, it's when they ETB. So you can have a rooftop storm sack outlet and just go mental.
There's a lot of dumb things that I'm going to do with this card, and people are going to be like, why? And because you can.
Yeah.
The next card is also one that I'm very excited about, and it's very on theme for me. It's Olivia Crimson Bride. 4 black and a red for a legendary creature, vampire noble 3/4. It has flying and haste. And whenever Olivia Crimson Bride attacks, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking. It gains when you don't control a legendary vampire, exile this creature. I love it. I love it so much. This is another deck where you can build with whatever kind of creatures you want, whatever kind of graveyard shenanigans, and do something like a conspiracy, and suddenly all of your creatures are or whatever creature type, probably vampire. So your Ulamog is now a legendary vampire. Congratulations. You never lose your stuff. I'm just always about changing creature types because it's the fun thing to do. Because there's never, cards aren't meant to work the way that they do. And it's great.
It's fun to end up breaking stuff like that.
Yeah, these two cards I'm just very excited about. Like, I want to build Olivia for sure.
I can see that.
I like a lot of them. I opened a box yesterday. I actually pulled 2 of these. It would have been an amazing set of drafting had I gone through with these ones, but that's not how I play. It's Savior of Olenbach. It's 1 double white for a human soldier, 1/2 with training. Whenever this attacks with another creature with greater power, put a 1/1 counter on this creature so it can grow pretty big. Whenever it trains, exile up to 1 target creature from the battlefield or a creature from a graveyard. When it leaves the battlefield, put the exiled card onto the battlefield under its owner's control. So great recursion for you. Great removal as well. Like, I really, really like it. Temporary removal, but...
Or just recursion.
Yeah. Generally, I'm going to aim at my own stuff with it because I'm selfish and want my cards back. But if somebody has, like, something like an Ulamog on the field, this is a really fun way to get rid of it. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I will use my Merit Lage token. I will exile it with my Savior of Olenbach and a simple 2/2. I don't know. I kind of like the card. I think it'd be really good for like a draft format, but
I do like the Abraham Van Helsing alternate version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is just stunning.
I thought those were really cool that they did those. Zach, you want to take this next one?
Sure. Let me pull it up here so I can see it a little bit better. We have Sorin the Mirthless. 2 black fur. You guessed it. A legendary planeswalker, Sorin. Starts off with 4 loyalty. His +1 is look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card and put it into your hand. If you do, you lose life equal to its mana value. His -2. Thoughts?
I was just going to say, that's just Dark Confidant.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Very good.
Dark Confidant that you can choose, which is better.
Yeah, do I want to pay the life? No.
His -2 is you create a 2/3 black vampire creature token with flying and lifelink. And his -7, he deals 13 damage to any target, you gain 13 life.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I think generally people are going to want to use him for the 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
His -2 protecting himself is phenomenal. That is almost a Vampire Nighthawk on a -2.
I also got this in my pre-release. My pre-release was pretty good. The tokens that it makes are beautiful. The artwork on the token is fantastic.
I really like all of the artworks of this.
But I've noticed something with this set. Last set, there was Trista Decaphile. And in this set, there's a lot of references to the number 13.
A lot of 13-themed things. A lot of very strong common ones, yeah.
Yeah, there's a common that is a 1 power 13 toughness.
Is there?
There is, because I flung it at someone where it deals damage equal to its toughness.
That's funny. That's hilarious. I did not know that there was a 113 in the set.
Yeah. It's a zombie as well, so.
Oh, nice.
I'm very excited to talk about this next card. So this is the one. Okay. I said that there was, I have a favorite card in the set, but this is it. It's Doug and the Slug. I love it. It's a Toxreal the Corrosive. This card is everything hilarious in Magic to me. It's got a mana cost. I got a build up to it, but it is just something only a bad person would play. And I'm so excited to be that bad person in my play group. It's 5 double black for a 7/7 legendary Slug Horror. At the beginning of each end step, put a slime counter on each creature you don't control. Creatures you don't control get -1/-1 for each slime counter on them. That's hilarious, first off. And then whenever a creature you don't control with a slime counter on it dies, create a -1/-1 black slug creature token. If that wasn't enough, then it adds a second color in it so that it is blue and black. You pay 1 blue, 1 black, sack a slug, draw a card. I love everything about this. Everyone knows that this is going to be a Grave Pact deck, that this is going to be it's going to be the worst kind of deck, and I'm so excited to just be that guy.
I mean, I kind of want to build it.
This was the commander I wanted to build because it is very attrition-based, and you know I love attrition-based stuff, but I found some. There's another legendary creature we haven't got to yet that I'm actually building first before any of the others because I'm that much more excited about that creature.
This triggering on every end step is nuts. I love it. If this was only on your own end step, I would still be like, this is a really cool card. But on every end step, so one go around the table is -4 to your opponent's creatures. You have to have removal in hand for this immediately.
Yeah, is there any way of getting multiple end steps?
It's not even that. You run all the blue proliferate nonsense.
Or you just take extra turns.
Oh,
yeah, there is that.
I didn't even think about taking extra turns with my Doug and the Slug. Oh, I really like this card. It generates tokens. It's annoying. It has draw built into it.
Look, if you're going to take extra turns, that's fine. Just don't do it with Nexus of Fate, because I hate that card.
That card, yeah, they should have put it in an actual set if they were going to do it. A box topper, extra turn that, instant is a little suspicious.
That doesn't exile itself.
Oh, by the way, you need a black market in this deck.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just checking how many slugs are in black and blue.
It's not about
Masquid Nexus.
It's not about slugs. This is the only slug you need.
There's 5.
This is the only
slug.
And
that's one of them.
So this is like a deck where I'm going to run stuff like Forbidden Orchard. Is that the one that gives my opponent's creatures when I tap it for any color?
Yeah. Oh, the Hunted Cycle.
Exactly like the Hunted Phantasm, where when they come in, they're doing that. I'm going to run that horse because, yeah, sure. My opponents are only going to get a few creatures from it, but I'm very excited to just I like board wipe theme decks. This is funny to me.
You rule zero and partner your slug with what's his name, the guy that gives plant creature tokens to, he's a green black Grizzlemold.
Grizzlemold would be so fun. Whatever,
you just
that would be a very fun,
you rule zero that and now they're partners.
This, if you added green to this color, this would just be insane.
Painful.
Like, green doesn't need anymore.
Well, just like,
I think I'm happy that it doesn't have green just because green is just too stupid.
Just think how often like an Elish Norn hits the field and it just is devastating. But the fact that this triggers on the first end step, wiping out like token armies, is just crazy.
It's painful. Yeah. Very painful.
And as Zach said, there's so much attrition stuff that you can like put into this deck where it, when people's creatures die, like I said, a black market alone is an amazing card. But then you just go further with this, like, and you put in like your Dictative Erebos, your Grey Fat. Like, this is gonna be oppressively annoying, and I'm really here for it. I love the artwork of it. I would have built it for the artwork alone because I think it's so cool. But oh man, I could rant for an hour about how funny I think this card is. There will be an episode on this deck. And it will be annoying, I promise. Your friends won't like you if you play it. I'm sorry to my friends when I do play it, but
I have to say, I think this is the only card where I prefer the original art over the alternate art.
I still like the alternate art. I really like with all of these. Again, I like it.
I just prefer the original this time.
What I like to do is I like to put these commanders in like a thick like see-through, and I like one on one side and the other, and then I flip it back and forth.
Right.
Nice.
This is when he's friendly. This is when he's angry. You get it? Yeah, I could, like I said, I could rant about this for days. I will let Lotus jump into the next one before I do that.
Sure. Volatile Arsonist. 3 red for a 4/4 human werewolf with menace and haste. When it attacks, it deals 1 damage to each of up to 1 target creature, up to 1 target player, and or up to 1 target planeswalker.
Solid.
It has day bound, night bound. So, yeah, 3 damage spread out over 3 different things. It becomes a 5/5 with menace and haste. When it attacks, it deals 2 damage to each of up to 1 target creature, player, and planeswalker.
At 5/5. So I think that... they really upped the werewolf game. Obviously, like, it's Innistrad, this is the place to do it. I thought it was really cool that they finally, like, with Tovalar, like we were talking about earlier, gave us a werewolf commander, because there wasn't really anything.
It wasn't great. Tovalar has just brought it to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That level being
some
playable.
Some of these werewolves in this set, like the Averbrook Caretaker, are just super good.
Oh, crazy good. There's so much like good stuff in this. Zach, do you want to take this next one? Because I think you'll appreciate it like I do.
Sure. So this will be starting out the rares for the main set. We have Alchemist's Gambit. It's 1 red for a sorcery, and it has Cleave. Its Cleave cost is 4 blue and a red, and if you're unfamiliar with Cleave because it is a new mechanic, you may cast this spell for its Cleave cost. If you do, remove the words in, square brackets. It says, take an extra turn after this one. During that turn, damage can't be prevented. At the beginning of that turn's end step, you lose the game and you exile Alchemist's Gambit. And the words in brackets here are, at the beginning of that turn's end step, you lose the game.
This is an awesome card.
It's silly.
This, if you know that somebody has like the ability to, I right now am playing in a meta of just degenerate people who are playing things like Angus McKenzie decks, who are playing like constant like Krufix Turbo Fog kind of stuff. Like, I play with bad people. These are, you know, and it's just so fun. Like, that's why I went and bought so many questing beasts not too long ago, is because so many people just kept fogging my attacks and no one fogs it now anymore. At 3 mana, the damage can't be prevented one is already great. There's a lot of decks that really, really resonate with something like this. But again, like I was talking about, I love Obika and I love like the Sundial of the Infinite away these negative effect cards. I just love this card. I was so excited to see it. I love everything this card can do. And the Cleave mechanic, as we were talking about earlier, I'm super into it. I love its like early and late like modal choices.
It's very unique for them to try something out like that, because that feels like an unhinged mechanic that actually got pushed through into the set, and it doesn't feel bad. Like, it's a unique way to take on modal with, you know, giving us these powerful splashy effects while doing it in a unique way.
Yeah.
It just feels like a overload kind of mechanic, really. Like, you pay a higher cost, you get a better effect.
Yeah. Well, I think because of like the bracket, like that's where my thought process was, thinking of it like if you know, you have these brackets, if you pay this, they don't exist. The words just aren't there.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sharpie.
I mean, unsets are their testing ground.
Yeah, yeah. We hear that, like, all the time, and we see it, like, with Mutate. I was so excited about Mutate.
Mutate was just the augment.
Augment.
Speaking of how, like, the unsets are their testing ground, that, like, this is how my brain works. I was like, oh, yeah, because of all the squirrels. And I was like, oh, yeah, I finally found a Chatterfang. I can finally build this deck.
You're going to love it.
No, I haven't. So, first off, I have not seen anyone locally play a Chatterfang deck. Not seen it, and I have not seen one in any of the stores here since it's been out. There has not been one in case or anything. I don't know who has them all, but like, what are you doing with them? Bring them back.
I do. I have them all. They fit my playstyle.
I
kind of have some.
it's just normal Chatterfang. Nothing crazy. Nothing foil. Nothing full art. It's just a normal Chatterfang. Just a normal friendly old Chatterfang deck.
I forget which one I have.
I've got the wide art, because it's the best art.
I'm going to look while someone reads the next card.
Okay, I'll do Anya, Maid of Dishonor. Anya!
Yeah, see, that's the Chatterfang I need.
Yeah. 4/5 Legendary Vampire. When Anya, Maid of Dishonor, and or one or more other vampires enter the battlefield under your control, create a blood token. This ability only triggers once each turn. Blood tokens are just worse clue tokens. it's an artifact with pay one, tap, discard a card, sacrifice the artifact to draw a card. And she has another ability of pay two, sacrifice another creature or a blood token. Each opponent loses two life and you gain two life.
So, two things. Number one, it's Angie. Number two, I love the blood token mechanic. Like, I love madness, right? And more ways for me to be able to, like, discard cards from my hand. I really, really like that. I actually just, like, finally, maybe 2 months ago, I finally did that Rakdos deck, the madness theme deck, and I really upgraded it. And it's super, super fun. Like, I put the World Gorger combo into it initially, and I was like, hey, I don't really like this too much. So now it's just, like, a full madness themed like discard deck, and there's so many cards right now that function with like discarding that are just awesome. Like I really, really like this. Like playing a blood token themed deck where you're trying to loot through your own deck is very dangerous if you have like a Turgrid in your meta. That would be rough. But other than that, like there's a lot of things that are like whenever you sacrifice permanents, whenever permanents go to your graveyard, like there's a lot of really, really cool things that you can do with these blood tokens. And They kind of flush them out a little more in the commander decks, I think. But I like the mechanic. I thought it was interesting.
So I wanted to break in here real quick. Did you guys watch the cinematic for Crimson Vow?
I didn't.
Yes.
Man, it's real messed up.
It was odd. I liked it, but it was odd.
Did I miss something entertaining?
Yeah. So it starts off with this couple. And you hear, like, you don't realize who's talking at first, and then you realize it's Olivia, and you can tell this couple is, like, actually going to, they're in love, like, they're going to get married, but Olivia is just using them as food. It's real messed up. But it's very good. It was very good. I don't know, just the Maid of Dishonor, you know? But now we're going to talk about Ascendant Pack Leader. It's one green for a 2/1 wolf. As it ETBs with a +1/+1 counter on it, if you control a permanent with mana value 4 or greater, and whenever you cast a spell with mana value 4 or greater, put a +1/+1 counter on Ascendant Pack Leader.
I think that's super good.
Yeah, it's a great one drop.
Yeah, it just gets big over time. This seems like it'd be a really fun deck for, what's that, Goreclaw?
Yeah.
A card for Goreclaw.
Well, it's good.
It's a good... Yeah, so 2/1 for one, or it's a 3/2 for one late game.
Yeah, like it doesn't hurt like getting a Land of War Elf late game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, because you can turn all your little guys into big guys or so on and so forth.
So this next one, they had to errata already because it's hilarious because they don't know how to check their own cards. It's Blood Vial Purveyor, and again, another reason I like these blood tokens. I understand why they errata it. It's 2W for a vampire 5/6 flying trample. First off, that's insane stats on a creature. That shouldn't be in the game. A 5/6 flying trample at 4 vanilla would be a great card. Like that would be like a super value. Then whenever an opponent casts a spell, that player creates a blood token. So you're giving other people the ability to loot. And then what was errata, which is hilarious, it's whenever Blood Vial Purveyor attacks, it gets 1/0 for each token defending player controls. It's officially errata to until end of turn. But because until end of turn wasn't there, you were just making like an insane creature. And again, a 5/6 trample is thick.
Like, that's the big thing, I think, at rare. We were already talking earlier, or before we started recording, right, about how we have set boosters, we have draft boosters, we have collector boosters. So getting these cards into people's hands already was fairly easy to do.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine just setting down drafting and someone has two or three of these because it's a rare?
That's funny.
Yeah, like that's, well, GG, you got me.
Like I said, a 5/6 flying trample at 4 is nuts.
Yeah,
a self-pumping one is also nuts, and it does really, really punish people for casting spells because, like, sure, like you're going off, but I'm gonna hit you for 10 on your turn.
On turn 5.
On turn 3, if somebody has the right setup, yeah.
I was thinking standard for that case.
Oh yeah.
Oof. I want to read this next one.
I love this one as well.
Go ahead, Zach. Yeah.
I still wish I had Negan together because, boy, this would be a Negan, and it's by invitation only. It's 3 white for a sorcery. Choose a number between 0 and 13. Each player sacrifices that many creatures.
I think this is wicked.
Yeah, there's that 13 again.
Oh, you have an Evison out. How interesting.
Best, I'm going to say it now, best white removal outside of Armageddon.
That's really, really good. Because the other thing is, like, even if somebody's, like, wildly ahead of you, them losing 13 creatures isn't going to be the end of the world. But there's not many times in Commander where everyone has 13 creatures, right? So, like, a lot of the time, like, somebody's just going off on you, aggroing you. That's totally fine. You have how many creatures? 5? Interesting. I'll choose 5.
Yeah, the only time, like, me seeing this, like, if we're setting down, the only time I would see this and not be upset is if I'm playing Caridor. It's like, okay. Any other time, this is like, what? All of us? Oh, even token decks, that's still a lot of bulk to lose.
Losing 13 tokens still hurts. That's not great.
I'm never not going to say 13. I don't care.
Ooh, the next one. I talk so much about decks I have, but I play Riel as well. And so Riel, and for Angie in general, this is an amazing card. Change of Fortune. Mm-hmm. 3 and a red, discard your hand, then draw a card for each card you've discarded this turn. That's so, so Ooh. Good. Especially in like a Riel the Everwise. Like, I have 7 cards, I discard it, then I draw 21 cards for 4.
So I think you guys have a better grasp on the game than I do. Do you think if they would have made this an instant, it would have been a mythic?
Probably.
I mean,
that gives you just so much, like, at an instant speed. So number one, you could use it in your cleanup phase. So you could, like, you could discard down to hand size and then just be like, oh, bap. Right. So you could go really hard with that. But the amount of, like, safety it would bring at an instant, I think would give it, like, that mythic. Because let's say Lotus is going to game win, and I've kept 7 cards in my hand that are really, really good overall. At instant speed, I'm able to maybe dig for that Force of Will, right? 6 card, like a 6 card deep dig is nothing to shake your head at, right? To look for a counter to stop a game winning card like that is a really, really good thing.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM, then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, no, I can see it. Sorcery is probably good enough. You wouldn't be able to do it in your cleanup phase anyway, because you'd get a second cleanup phase. So you'd have to discard back down to hand size, but
No, but that's what I mean, right? Like, you'd be able to recycle so much, because, like, this is for each card you've discarded this turn. So if you don't have a way, like, let's say that we've got a big draw. I've drawn 13 with a blue sun zenith. I've got lots of mana.
Yeah.
And I didn't like any of those 13. I'm gonna toss those and then reset. And yes, you'd still have to, like you said, you'd have to get rid of anything excessive, but it's just that ability to dig for the answers, which for me would be like Force of Wills or Pact of Negation kind of stuff to stop somebody from winning. So I think where it sits is like a really, really solid way.
Just curious, because I was thinking of our friends in the CDH community and wondering if this at instant would have made like waves.
Yeah, I think even depending on like the deck style, like I think there may be like a place for it in some. Like, I haven't really looked through it. I mostly was like just concerned with putting it in Riel, because Riel lets me draw for the discard, right? But like there is like some, the ability to dig is pretty good.
I was just curious.
The next one intrigues me. Concealing Curtains, single black for a 0/4 wall with defender, 2 and a black transform Concealing Curtains, but only as a sorcery. And on the other side is the revealing eye.
I love
it's an eye horror 3/4 with menace. It's just like, oh, peeping Tom. When this creature transforms into the revealing eye, target opponent reveals their hand. You may choose a non-land card from it. If you do, that player discards that card and then draws a card. Just strange.
I don't know if I would actually use this card, but I like this card.
I like the artwork.
Yes, it's very good.
I'm a big fan of that one. I think it's cool.
So next card we have on the list here is Consuming Tide, 2 double blue sorcery. Each player chooses a non-land permanent they control. Return all non-land permanents not chosen this way to their owner's hands. Then you draw a card for each opponent who has more cards in their hand than you.
I'm fine with this. It's no Cyclonic Rift. I'm happy with this.
Yeah, it seems... I would rather see this than a Cycrip for sure. I feel like this definitely can slow the game down, but not in a way that it's like everyone groans at the table because we've been playing the same game for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, but I'd probably run this alongside it because I'm a monster.
Hate Cyclonic Rift. Can't stand that card at all.
I mean, it's funny when you Cyclonic Rift in Wheel of Fate.
Nah, Cyclonic Rift is just never fun. Hate that card. I could talk about that for hours as well. The next one we have is Creepy Puppeteer, 3 and a red for a 4/3 human rogue haste. When it attacks, if you attack with exactly one other creature this combat, you can have that creature's base power and toughness become 4/3. I think this is a interesting enough card.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you attack with a 1/1, you get 2 4/3s.
Yeah, it's I think it's better in like a sealed pool, like looking at it.
Yeah, standard.
Well, what's really cool is you got to think too that like there are some creatures that are statted the way they are because they're not meant, like their evasion or their abilities are too good to be anything higher. So you compare this with certain creatures and suddenly it's like, well, my Cold Eye Selkie is now hitting and I'm getting 4 more cards. I'm drawing 3 more cards than I would have or something like that. I thought this card was really cool.
I like that they've got more curses though. Curse of Hospitality, 2 and a red for an enchantment or a curse. Enchant player. Creatures attacking enchanted player have trample. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to enchanted player, that player exiles the top card of their library. Until end of turn, that creature's controller may play the card, and they may spend mana as though it was mana of any color to cast the spell.
That's brutal.
That is very brutal.
I think it's
just
hilarious.
The trample is bad enough.
I don't know what's going on in this art either, but it's sick. I enjoy this.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. It's like Red Riding Hood or something's got chained up to a...
Yeah.
Something. It is really weird. I like it. That artwork is awesome.
It almost looks like Seb McKinnon, but it's not.
Right. So we have the finishing cycle for lands as well. These are allied lands, right?
Yeah.
They all do the same thing, just with different... colors. So Deathcap Glade is a land. It ETBs taps unless you control 2 or more other lands, and it taps for black or green. I wanted to kind of breeze over that card real quick because I really wanted to talk about this next one. It's Demonic Bargain, 2 and a black sorcery. Exile the top 13 cards of your library. Then search your library for a card, put that card in your hand, and then shuffle.
There's that 13 again.
This card is so nutty. I think it's so cool.
I mean, its power level, I feel, is between Diabolic Tutor and Demonic Tutor.
Look.
Like, it exactly fits in the middle.
I'm going to personally test this one out with my Kazaru Kima deck so that I can try and exile, like, Mist Hollow Griffin or, like, Eternal Scourge kind of thing, and then search for my food chain with it. If I hit my food chain, then I'll be searching for Rift Sweeper.
That's what I was saying. Like, I love... Like, these are the kind of... like tutors I like seeing, because once again they're taking something that all Magic or all Commander players I would think want you know, to search for that card that they need, but in a fashion that is like you might get it, you might not, so you really have to be prepared. Like you said, Dan, like hopefully I have my Rift Sweeper if I hit the card that I'm looking for. I think it's sweet, and once again, love the art. Art's so cool.
One of my favorite things to do in competitive is to Demonic Consultation, but not for the Thassa's Oracle win. I like to name Food Chain and just roll the dice and hope I get it, and I kill myself all the time because Food Chain's in that first pile. So I can see myself definitely having fun, like playing something like this. Just like you said, the variety that you'll see with a card like this, I think is pretty cool. It gives you a tutor, but at a cost. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And I like that we're dealing more and more with the exile zone. Like, we're getting more and more ways to put cards in exile. We're getting cards that care about cards in exile. Like, this could be really cool with something like Oblivion Sower, where, you know, you name a card you're searching for. Maybe you say Oblivion Sower so that you can, you know, essentially ramp. You know, maybe you hit five lands and you play your Oblivion Sower and suddenly you get all those lands.
I have a deck that's like full of I can't even remember who the commander of it was, but it was like full of like things that like copy my spells. It might have been like one of my old Kess versions, but it was like everything goes under the card, and whenever you cast a spell, you cast all the instants and sorceries under it.
I know what you're thinking, but I can't remember its name.
It's one of those. It's one of the ones where like Hive Mind, that kind of stuff, where when one person casts it, everyone casts it. And I think stuff like this is hilarious, where like, sure, like we're all exiling 13, let's go.
Oof.
The next one I wanted to take, I really, really like this one.
I'm not sure.
You don't like it?
I don't like it because now green has a tutor.
Well, green doesn't, Golgari does.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but Golgari already has tutors.
Carry on.
Yeah, black black's already in the colors. We've got Dig Up. It's a sorcery one. It has a cleave cost. Its cleave cost is one black green. So the same cost as like a demonic tutor, demonic tutor.
Diabolic. Four,
right? Diabolic. It has search your library for a basic land card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle. And if you pay the cleave cost, you just search you get rid of basic land and reveal it. So you search for anything, put it into your hand. I think it's a great utility card. I like it.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it's better that it's not green and it is black in it as well.
Yeah, it's already a deck color that can do that already. But I like that you've got like another early game if you need mana colors, you've got it. Late game, you've got... And I really, like I said, I like the ability to do different things with it.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose if you're in Golgari, you've already got Demonic Tutor, Diabolic Tutor, the one above it.
Yeah, exactly. So you can already tutor, so...
Yeah.
Diabolic Intent, Imperial Seal.
Yeah, all that expensive all of stuff. Them. This is the card that I think is going to be mega good in like standard formats, but I think has like an amazing place like in Commander as well. Lotus, you want to take this one?
That's creepy. What's with the eyeball in the outside window?
Yeah.
Oh, Dollhouse of Horrors. Sorry. 5 mana for an artifact. 1 and tap. Exile a creature card from your graveyard, then create a token that is a copy of the exiled card, except it's a 0/0 construct artifact in addition to its other type. And it has this creature gets +1/+1 for each construct you control. It gains haste until end of turn. Activate only as a sorcery. Huh.
Yeah. Like the...
Does this... So this would go in something like Urza or Khan that makes those tokens that do the same thing?
Well, this already gives your things, but like, let's look at like an easy way to like go in standard. Somebody's killed my Averbrook Caretaker. I pay 1 to bring it back. It's a 1/1, or it's a 0/0 on its face that buffs itself 1/1. I move to combat, and it buffs anything else by 2/2. Like, you can make just, like, monster creatures, and being able to recur anything powerful from a graveyard at 1 is nuts.
Well, technically, it'll come in as a 2/2, because it itself is an artifact, and so is Dollhouse of Horrors.
No. So, this only pumps for constructs. It makes it a construct. And then you get
this creature gets +1 for each construct you control. Ah, yes.
So, like, it'll buff itself, but number one, this isn't legendary, so you can do more than one.
Uh-huh.
And number two, like, there's a lot of, like, very big beaters in standard. Again, even if you look at the Cultivator Colossus, right? That's a standard card. If you have 5 mana, you're paying 1 for a 5/5 trample on its face. Technically, it's 6/6 because... Its power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control is its ability. Its base power is already 0 from the construct, so oof.
Yeah, it gets silly.
Oh god, you can build a reanimator mill deck with that card.
Yeah, like there's a lot of like super, super good. And it not being legendary, I think, is like a really cool thing. I love it for a lot of reanimation decks, but for just a lot of decks like... self-mill kind of decks are going to love a card like this. Like, At least I think. I could be wrong.
I think it's sweet. I was hyped on it too.
I can see that.
You want to take this next one here, Zach?
Sure. It's Dominating Vampire. It's one double red for a vampire. It's a 3/3. When an ETBs, gain control of target creature with mana value less than or equal to the number of vampires you control until end of turn. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn. Threaten effect. Love it.
I like it.
Take it. That's fine.
Yeah.
The next one I'm very happy about. It's Dorothea, Vengeful Victim. One in a blue for a 4/4 flying 4/4 flying spirit, which again, great stats. When it attacks or blocks, sack it at the end of combat. So you're only getting one swing off it. That makes sense. But its flip is an enchantment. It has disturb for one white, one blue. Its flip is enchant creature. Enchanted creature has, whenever this creature attacks, create a 4/4 white spirit creature token with flying that's tabbed and attacking. Sack at the end of combat, and if it would be put into the graveyard from anywhere, exile instead. I think that this is like a really, really cool Geist of Saint Traft style effect deck.
This next card I really want to talk about because it was one of the two that. Yeah. So it's Dreadfeast Demon. It's 5 double black for a 6/6 demon with flying. At the beginning of your end step, sacrifice a non-demon creature. If you do, create a token that's a copy of Dreadfeast Demon.
Yeah, a huge army of these things.
A huge army of 6/6 flyers. I have plenty of black-green decks that this guy would slot in perfectly because I'm sacrificing, I don't know, sapperlings or squirrels or insects, and suddenly I'm replacing my 1/1 with a 6/6 of flying.
Well, and there's no downside for if you can't sack a non-demon. So it stays around. And like generally, like you have the... with these kind of cards, you have the... If you can't, then take X damage or something, or tap it or something, right? So this is just, like you said, straight value across the board.
What makes me excited is that it exponentially gets bigger because it creates an exact token copy, which will have this ability. So next turn, you'll have 4, then you'll have 8, then you'll have 16, if you have the sack fodder.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is disgusting.
It's great at turning your tokens into monster creatures.
Yeah.
I really like
the artwork where he's just, there's a guy falling head first in the background.
Dropping into the fire. The flavor text is fun on it. By the sixth day of darkness, the lake was more blood than water.
Wow.
So if I sacrifice one token to this, it would obviously it'll make two. So will I have to sacrifice a token to each individual one to get it to trigger, or will each one? Okay. That's what I thought.
I don't think you have to. It just, at the beginning of your end step, Sakanon, I guess it'd be individual triggers for him, yeah.
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 Still good.
We have Dreamroot Cascade, which is another one of the lands. I don't think we really need to talk about that.
Blue-green, yep.
Yep.
Blue-green. Pretty land. Someone want to get this Geist?
Lotus?
Sure. Dream Shackle Geist, 1 blue-blue for a 3/1 flying spirit. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose up to 1. Tap target creature. Target creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step. So you have to choose up to 1, so you don't have to choose any of them. But it's pretty good.
Yeah, they definitely gave like spirits even more utility, which is awesome. I think spirits is a really cool tribe. So it's neat to see that they just keep getting more love, especially from this set.
Zach, the next one, and then the flavor text on it.
Sure. We've got Dying to Serve, 2 and a black for an enchantment. Whenever you discard one or more cards, create a tap 2/2 black zombie creature token. This ability triggers only once each turn. I used to have hired hands, but I discovered they made better weight staff with the rest of the body attached. That's funny.
I like that one. The next one, I actually really like this card. A bunch of people online seem to not like it. I think it's a super cool card. We have Edgar, Charmed Groom. 2/1 white, 1 black. Vampire Noble, 4/4. Other vampires you control get 1/1. Solid. When Edgar, Charmed Groom dies, return it to the battlefield transformed under its owner's control, and it becomes Edgar Markov's coffin. Beginning of your upkeep, create a 1/1 white and black vampire token with lifelink and put a bloodline counter on Edgar Markov's coffin. Then, if there's 3 or more bloodline counters on it, remove it and transform it. So Edgar just keeps coming back when he's gone. So If you leave him on the field, he's a 4-4 that buffs other vampires. Already a solid effect. If you kill him, he flips, creates vampires, and then flips back. Like, he's going to be pretty difficult to remove, and from the command zone, he's going to be annoying.
Yes.
Really like him.
Yeah. I think he's pretty decent.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to the lore, because I don't know if he's alive or dead after this, so.
Yes.
I don't.
Do you want to take this next one, Lotus? I love the artwork on this card. Both versions are super cool.
Yeah, it does look really interesting, actually. All three of them? No, that's another person. Eruth, the Tormented Prophet, one blue red for a 2/4 legendary human wizard. If you would draw a card, exile the top two cards of your library. Instead, you may play those cards this turn. That's really interesting.
I really like
it. That's quite interesting.
The drawback of like losing the card if you can't play it is awesome, but you're so much more likely to hit a land drop, and then anything that lets you draw one card, you draw two. So like a Kami with a crescent moon, you're essentially getting four cards to play from. Like, I think this is like a really, really cool potential commander.
Yeah, and as long as this is on the board, you can't lose from having no cards in your library.
Didn't even think about that. I like that.
That's really funny.
Yeah, as long as it's there, I don't draw myself out, so we're good.
Yeah.
Zach, you want to take this next one?
Sure. It's Falcon Wrath Forebearer. It's a 2 and a black for a 3/1 zombie with flying, and it can't block. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, create a blood token. We know how much Jan likes those. You can pay a black and sacrifice 2 blood tokens. You return Falcon Wrath Forebearer from your graveyard to the battlefield. Notably, untapped.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Solid, yeah, I think.
Normally, cards like this always say they come back tapped, so it's actually really cool.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and read this next one, too.
I did really like that they did a version of this for him, yeah.
It's very cool. It's Geralf, Visionary Stitcher, 2 and a blue for a 1/4 human wizard legendary creature. Zombies you control have flying. You can pay a blue and you tap them. You sacrifice another non-token creature. Create an XX blue zombie creature token where X is a sacrificed creature's toughness.
The artwork is amazing. The flavor of the card is amazing. But the flavor text is, do you like it, sister? Its dreadful visage was inspired by your own. And basically the zombie he's making there is meant to look like Gissa. Oh.
Yeah, it's super... Man, they did such a good job on this card. I'm so happy it's a rare too, because I really want to open it.
I think it's a very fun one to make.
Mm-hmm. It looks amazing.
Well, and I think it's cool, especially with Necroduality being in here. We've got a bunch of blue zombies already. So like seeing some mono blue zombie decks would be super fun.
Yeah.
Lotus, you want to take this one?
I've not seen this one. Glorious Sunrise, 3 green enchantment. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose one. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Gain trample to end of turn. Target land gains add triple green until end of turn. Or draw a card if you control a creature with power 3 or greater. Or gain 3 life. That's a lot on one enchantment.
For anyone who listened to the lore episode, that's Catilda in the middle of the card. So... the fact that like it's Glorious Sunrise means that like Catilda was able to bring the sun back to Innistrad. Like we'll be going over the story, but like thematically, like it's super awesome. We have Teferi in the artwork. Like it's just a great artwork card. If you like the story, if you don't like the story, it's still just a cool card in general.
Wasn't Teferi the one that ruined the sunrise in the first place?
No, he slowed the sunset because the sun wasn't coming up as much. Teferi's there to help.
Oh, I thought he messed it up. I must have got that story wrong.
No, Emrakul messed it up because Emrakul's in the moon.
Ah.
Emrakul's a menace. Man, mm-hmm. I could talk lore all day. Zach, you want to take this one?
Sure, we have Graf Reaver. It's 1 to black for a 3/3 zombie warrior with exploit. So when it ETBs, you can sacrifice another creature. If you exploit it, you can destroy a creature or a planeswalker. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, it deals 1 damage to you.
When it exploits... a creature you can destroy target planeswalker. I wish you could destroy a creature with it too.
Oh yeah, sorry. Target planeswalker.
That's how I read it at first too. I was like, this is great. And then I was like, eh.
You think for the 1 damage it deals to you for setting around, it would
that they would give it a little more. Yeah, I think they could have given it creature and planeswalker. I think that would have been worth it. The next one is stupid, and I'm in love with it. We have Grolnok the Omnivore. It's a legendary 3/3 frog for 2, 1 green, 1 blue. Whenever a frog you control attacks, mill 3 cards. Whenever a permanent's put into your graveyard from your library, exile it with a croak counter on it. You may play lands and cast spells from among cards you own in exile with croak counters on them.
Okay.
I love it. I love the stupidity of this card in every form.
I was doing a quick Google. There's 23 frog cards in Magic. I'm tempted to brew this now.
Yeah, Grolnok looks so fun. The fact that he mills 3 and you can play permanents from him alone, I would make this just a full permanent themed deck.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like how the artist has made it look like Gitrog slightly.
Yeah. I love both versions of it. I love the nightmare horror that is the other version.
That's just creepy. It looks kind of like Predator.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that is horrifying.
Does anyone want to take the next one, the hunting pair here?
Oh, have they actually got together?
They're partners.
Yes.
Business partners.
They're not business partners.
They own an antique shop. And
they are very good friends. No, they're lovers. Helena and Elena partners, 2 red green, human ranger 2/3, first strike reach. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put X +1/+1 counters on another target creature control, where X is Helena and Elena's power. That creature gains haste to end of turn.
I like
pretty
it.
Sweet.
I think it's a pretty straightforward gruel go slap deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they've added them together in their own card. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Maybe they did it because of the partner mechanic. No.
No, it's no. because they're no, in love.
I know they're in love. I think it's a pretty cool.
Leave them be. Leave them be.
Leave them alone. We have Hamlet Vanguard next. 1/1 human warrior with, it's for 2/1 green. Ward 2, which I like the ward mechanic. It enters with 2/1/1 counters on it for each other non-token human you control, which is just crazy.
Yes, that's a very large.
Yeah, this thing can come in like a monster. And then the ward 2 makes it so much harder to remove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach?
Next on the list, we have Headless Rider. It's 2 and a black for a 3/1 zombie. And whenever Headless Rider or another non-token zombie you control dies, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Yeah. Yes. So, as we know, Gravecrawler in any zombie deck with a sac outlet, probably Phyrexian Altar or something like that, is going to always get, we're just going to have an army. It's sweet.
I think the next one is super, super cool for 5 color decks for color fixing. Do you want to take this one, Otis?
I like this one. Hive Heart Shaman, 3 and a green for a 3/5 human shaman. When it attacks, you may search your library for a basic land card that doesn't share a land type with a land you control. Put that card onto the battlefield, then shuffle. 5 and a green, create a 1/1 green insect creature token. Put X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of basic land types among lands you control. Activate only as a sorcery.
That's the only part I don't like.
Yeah, I don't like that bit, but going to get lands of a basic type that you don't own is pretty good to fix your colors.
Yep, I really, really like that. I wish its ability was instant speedable, like to dump my mana into, but I'm still happy with this where it is. Like, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
We have Hopeful Initiate next. We have a 1/2 human warlock for 1 white. It has training whenever it attacks with a creature with power greater, get a 1/1. Then 2/1, which is the interesting part of the deck. Remove 2/1/1 counters from among creatures you control. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. I think that's got a lot of places in, like, counter-themed decks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love utility on creatures.
Yeah.
What makes me happier is white now has a way of destroying target enchantments and artifacts quickly.
I was going to say, white's always had that, Lotus. That's all white has.
They don't have artifacts as much, though, do they?
I think they do. They've got like a lot of disenchant stuff, or is that only enchantments?
I might be misremembering.
White definitely can get rid of that stuff, like turn to dust, like that kind of stuff. White goes hard on that.
Oh, disenchant artifact. Yeah, no, ignore me. I'm talking out of it's the air over in Britain. Don't worry.
Well, While we're ignoring Lotus, let's talk about Howling Moon. It's 2 and a green for an enchantment.
Wow.
At the beginning of combat on your turn, target wolf or werewolf you control gets +2/+2 till end of turn. Whenever an opponent casts their second spell each turn, create a 2/2 green wolf creature token. Pretty cool.
One. Yeah.
I like it.
I like punishing people for them doing what they want to do.
This next one is super good. You want this one, Lotus?
Yeah. Howpack Piper, 3 and a green for a human werewolf, 2/2. This spell can't be countered. And then you can pay 1 and a green, tap it. You may put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. If it's a wolf or werewolf, untap Howpack Piper. Activate only as a sorcery. On its nightbound side, whenever this creature enters the battlefield or transforms into the Wild Song Howler, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature card from among them and put it in your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. This is nuts.
Super good. Number one, super good to like dump in things like Ulamog, Kozilek, any of those things that are huge.
Yep.
Because it can't be countered, that's super good. But just like the ability to like dump in, if you have 4 mana, assumably to cast it, you can next turn put in like 2 wolves or werewolves. I really think that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you've got something like the Great Henge, creature entering, draw a card and try and keep going.
Yep. Zach, you want to do this one? I feel like you...
I think this is the one Zach's been waiting for.
It's one of them. It's one of them.
Oh, you're waiting for the other one.
Yes. It's Hallbreaker Horror. 5 double blue for a 7/8 Kraken Horror with Flash. It can't be countered, and whenever you cast a spell, choose up to 1. Return target spell you don't control to its owner's hand, or return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand.
Man, that's good.
It's real sweet.
That's just so brutal. You're going to try and... I will Teferi's Protection in response to this. I will unsummon your creature and put Teferi's Protection back in your hand. Try again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Anything uncounterable? I'm going to opt and put that back in your hand.
Yeah. I'm not countering it. You simply get it back.
Yeah, try again.
I gen wave for 30, sacking all my treasure tokens. Not today.
Try again.
I think that one's really solid.
It makes any spell that has like any instant with Phyrexian mana just insane. Like mutagenic growth.
Yep.
For 2 life.
I never even would have considered using it in that way, but you're absolutely right. Like that would be a hilarious way. You're tapped out. Well, my threat assessment is that I can get my spell off. Yeah, you can just next turn.
Yeah.
I like that. That's solid.
Oh my god, you can do something like Narset's Reversal.
Yep.
And you could also, I don't know, make this a zombie, cast it, have like Necrodality on the battlefield, have multiple copies, mutagenic growth.
Can you imagine slapping someone with a Rites of Flourishing version of this? I will cast a Hedron Crab and bounce all of your creatures.
Yeah.
That's rough. I like that card. That's a very cool one. I definitely underestimated it in my first read. We have Ill-Tempered Loner, 2 double red for a human werewolf. It is a 3/3. Whenever it's dealt damage, it deals that much damage to any target. Why am I reading this? Zach, you read this. You read this red werewolf. This is for you.
Okay.
It's Ill-Tempered. This is like the second best goblin.
Okay. Ill-Tempered Loner, 2 double red for a human werewolf, 3/3. When Ill-Tempered Loner is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to any target. Wait, why were you reading this?
That's what I was saying. As soon as I started, I was like, this is for Zach.
It's 1 in a red. Ill-Tempered Loner gets +2/+0 until end of turn, and it has daybound and nightbound. On the back, we have Howlpack Avenger. Whenever a permanent you control is dealt damage, Howlpack Avenger deals that much damage to any target. 1 in a red, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn, and it's a 4/4.
Zach Blasphemous acts the board and kills everyone?
You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, as soon as I started reading this, I was like, oh, this is something for Zach.
Yes. That's fun.
A good one. That's actually super cool. Whenever a permanent you control is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to any target. That's hilarious. I'm going to put this in Firesong Sunspeaker and then Star of Extinction the board.
Oh.
Yeah, I've done plays like that.
The next one I'm not super sold on being great. It's inspired in idea. 2 and blue for draw 3 cards. Your max hand size reduced by 3 for the rest of the game. That doesn't seem like a great trade-off. It does have cleave, but then you're drawing 3 cards at 5 mana. I don't really know how much play this can see. Maybe I'm just not right on it, but...
It does have Geralf on it, so...
So thematically it's cool?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. If it was like 2 mana, like... Yeah, but 3, I'm kind of like... Is it worth it?
Someone read the next one, then I'm going to take the card after that.
Okay. Investigator's Journal. 2 mana for an artifact clue. Okay. When it enters the battlefield with a number of suspect counters on it equal to the greatest number of creatures a player controls. 2 and tap, remove a suspect counter from it, draw a card. Sacrifice the journal for 2 mana, draw a card.
I love stupid tokens.
It's a little sus, but all right.
Like, when Jar of Eyeballs, when I first read that card, and eyeball counters, I thought it was so funny. And this suspect counters is just, like Dan said, is very sus.
Yeah. We should evict it.
So the next one I wanted to read because it's a story spotlight card. And, oh man, it's good. So it is 1 white-white for Katilda Dawnheart Martyr. Spirit Warlock, flying lifelink protection from vampires. Katilda Dawnheart Martyr's power and toughness are equal to the number of permanents you control that are spirits and or enchantments. So that's like a great commander for a mono white, like enchantment deck, like Pillow Forty style. It's great in spirit decks. And then it flips to Katilda's Rising Dawn, which is a legendary enchantment aura. Enchant creature has flying lifelink pro vampires and it gets XX where X is the number of permanents you control that are spirits and or enchantments. And if it be put into the graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead. It can get pretty out of hand, like in a Voltron-y style, or just in a normal mono white spirit deck. I think that it's got some pretty cool ability. I just like the card. I like the story. Obviously, Katilda's Rising Dawn. We know what's going on if you listen to the lore. But I'll digress. Please, someone else.
Sure. We've got Kessig Wolfrider, 1 red for a 1/2 human knight. It has menace. 2 and a red, you tap it. Exile 3 cards from your graveyard. Create a 3/2 red wolf creature token.
Nice.
Not horrible. Great early game beater.
Yeah.
I wish it was any graveyard.
That would have been better, but yeah.
For 3, I feel like that's fair, even with what you're getting out of it.
Lantern Flare, 1 and a white for an instant with Cleave, X, red, white. Lantern Flare deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker, and you gain X life. If you do pay the Cleave cost, X. If you don't pay the Cleave cost, X is the number of creatures you control.
I don't understand this card. It's worded very poorly.
So it's 1 and a white. It deals X damage, and you gain X life, where X is the number of creatures you control, or you pay X instead of the number of creatures you control.
Target creature or planeswalker, and you gain X life. It just seems like you'd never want to cleave it. Cast it for 2 and I have like 20 creatures out.
Yeah.
I guess the big thing is like we're looking at it as like min-max type stuff, right?
Yeah.
But in reality it's also meant to be like a big splashy X spell.
So yeah, I guess you can pay it as the X that way as well.
Yeah.
This would be really good in a Fire Song Sunspeaker style deck as well, right? Like you've got target damage, you've got life gain on it.
So if you're ahead, I feel like you just can close out the game. You know, like if you have, I don't know, a billion creatures, cool. If not, if you happen to have the mana but not the creatures, you can just catch back up.
Well, a really fun thing to do would be with that one we just talked about, the Brash Taunter Werewolf, where you can close your game out that way by paying 2 mana.
Yeah, whack one of your own things and then whack them with the...
With the remainder, yeah. I think it's kind of cool. I think this one's really cool. I'll let Zach take this one because it's his style.
It is Mirror Hall Mimic. It's 3 and a blue for a 0/0 spirit. You may have Mirror Hall Mimic ETB as a copy of any creature on the battlefield, except it's a spirit in addition to its other types. And it has Disturb for 3 blue-blue. Its backside is Ghastly Mimicry. You enchant creature at the beginning of your upkeep. Create a token as a copy of enchanted creature, except it's a spirit in addition to its other types. If Ghastly Mimicry would be put into the graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead. Yeah, this card's sweet. And once again, the art, so cool. The backside, I love it.
Yep.
That's just a followed footsteps, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think a little bit better because it's a creature. So you can
get... Yeah.
It has
everyone knows Phyrexian Reclamation. Phyrexian Reclamation in every deck, forever.
Lotus, do you want this one?
Yeah. Odric the Bloodcursed. It doesn't excite me, this one. I'm sorry. Okay. One red, white for a 3/3 vampire soldier. When Odric Bloodcursed enters the battlefield, create X blood tokens, where X is the number of abilities among flying, first strike, double strike, death touch, haste, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, trample, vigilance, found among creatures you control.
Yeah. So my opinion on this is this card sucks.
Yeah.
Had this card been white black, where a lot of those things, like, were a vampire knight, maybe, but like, is who's making Boros vampire blood token decks? I don't know.
The only place I thought of where this would be cool is in the 99 of that Osgir deck that I had.
That'd be cool,
because then we have more artifacts that we can do stuff with. And I do have a lot of creatures that have a lot of, like,
keyword evasion. Soup.
That's yeah. true. What annoys me about this is it's like it's half a card and they forgot to do something with it. Like, it makes all these blood tokens, and yet other cards have abilities and do things with blood tokens.
With the blood mostly, tokens, yeah.
But mostly they're in black and red.
If they had stapled something like sacrifice a blood token, creatures you control get 1/0 till end of turn. Sure, I could be on board with that.
Yeah, or a creature gets one of the abilities of above. But it's yeah. just, it's a lot of words to say I do nothing.
Yeah, it's, listen, everyone already thinks Boros sucks. They didn't need to reinforce it. Zach, do you want this one? This seems like something you'd enjoy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that card might suck. This card definitely doesn't. It's old Rusting. Is that how you say it? Rusting?
Yeah.
Rustine, yeah.
One black and a green for a legendary creature, a human peasant. Peasant. It's a 1/4. When he ETBs or at the beginning of your upkeep, mill a card. If a land card is milled this way, you create a treasure token. If a creature card is milled this way, you create a 1/1 green insect creature token. If a non-creature, non-land card is milled this way, create a blood token. This guy's sweet.
Yeah. Old Rusty's pretty cool.
Reminds me of, is it Gris?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, Gris just lets you create if you mill a insect, you create an insect and draw a card.
Yeah.
I think you go again.
We have Olivia's Attendant, 4 red for a 6/6 vampire with menace. When it deals damage, create that many blood tokens. And then 2 and a red deals 1 damage to any target. That's okay.
Not bad. Overcharged Algamum, 2 blue for a zombie horror 3/3 with flash, flying, and exploit. When it exploits a creature, counter target spell, activated ability, or triggered ability.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next couple cards are very interesting, in my opinion.
Go hard, Zach.
We got Patchwork Crawler, 1 and a blue for a 1/2 zombie horror. 2 and a blue, exile target creature card from your graveyard and put a +1/+1 counter on Patchwork Crawler. Patchwork Crawler has all activated abilities of all creature cards exiled with it.
I like that.
Yeah, you have to. It's like a Necrotic Ooze you have to jump through a little more hoops with, but what's cool with this is, like, if you just need to have a beater, you have a beater. So, following that up, we have Path of Peril, 1 double black for sorcery. It has cleave for 4, a white and a black. It says destroy all creatures with mana value 2 or less. If you pay the cleave cost, you just destroy all creatures for 6.
I love the flavor text. To Olivia's guests, a welcome. To everyone else, a warning.
And the card that I've been really wanting to talk about, because this is the first commander I'm 100% building, I've already started buying cards for out of this set, is Reno Stormkirk. 1, a blue and a black for a legendary creature, vampire cleric, 1/4. He has flying. When he ETBs, put up to 1 target creature card from your graveyard on top of your library. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card. If it's a creature card with mana value 6 or greater, you transform Reno. His backside, Korthus, Lord of the Deep. He's a Kraken Horror, legendary creature, 3/5 with flying. When he attacks, you create a tapped attacking token that's a copy of another target attacking creature. If that creature is a Kraken, Leviathan, Octopus, or Serpent, create 2 of those tokens instead. There's so much going on with this guy.
Let's just go with the obvious. It's obviously Cthulhu.
Yep.
Yeah,
It's obviously Cthulhu. That's why I wanted to build this deck.
Cthulhu, Lord of the Deep?
Yeah.
I wanted to build this deck because it does a lot of the things I like doing. We get a slight bit of recursion, which is nice, but we get to make token copies of creatures, right? But if it's one of the mentioned creature types, you get to create a second copy. I love changing creature types. Absolutely love it. I've already picked up Phyrexian Metamorph, Arcane Adaptation, Masswood Nexus, anything that's going to allow me to make my creatures be all types or a specific type in addition to his other types, so I can take all these crazy cards like Necro Duality, and suddenly I just have an army of Grave Titans that happen to be zombies as well as Krakens.
Your Brave Krakens, yeah.
Granted, he won't get the on-attack effect, but he will get the ETB effect, because he's already considered type in attacking.
My question is, you don't like Cyclonic Rift, but what about Overwhelming Wave?
That's perfectly fine, because that's fair. I had to jump through hoops to get there.
Yep.
Look, if you've allowed me to make, I don't know, an army of... What's a card I want to do? I don't know. Wormcoil Engines?
Oh, God.
Because they're now zombies as well as Krakens. You know, I had to get through hoops to get there, guys.
I like it.
I'm sorry, I'm very high on this card. And all the arts are phenomenal.
Runo's a very, like, interesting card. Like,
yeah.
I think it'll be very cool. It's a very cool tribe to see in Dimir Vampire Cleric.
With sea creatures?
Yeah. Sea creature vampire cleric. Yeah, I think it's, like, super, super cool in that, like, sense. It's a fun one to build around. There's, like I said, I wasn't super hype. You look at some of the stuff like Odric. Odric is garbage. I challenge anyone to tell me what's good about it, please. Like, I love being wrong, but I don't think I am on this one. Like, Odric is not good. That they did that card dirty, especially with how good the other Odrics are and how cool Odric is in the story. And they're just like, no, we're not having any part of that. Get this trash out of here.
I would have loved if he'd have been like a Miri the Cursed.
Yeah, exactly. Just something cool.
More fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They did him dirty. They did them dirty for sure. But then you see stuff like this and like the Troxamil, like the slug guy. You see like the stupid the kind frog. Of fun. Yeah, Grolnok the frog, where like you mill on frog attacks. I will swing with Spore Frog. Something no one's ever done, right? Like I love the ability of that and stuff. So I think there was some cool legends in it, especially going back over this set. There was a bunch that I'd forgotten about because I forgot about Runo until Zach had actually started talking about building it. I was like, all right, like that's a pretty funny idea. This next card, crazy, super super good. Another story spotlight card. It's Sigarda's Summons. It's 4 and a white. It's creatures you control with 1/1 counters on them have base power and toughness 4/4, flying and are angels in addition to their other types. That's good. That's good in any token deck.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like if you have like a lot of people are going to run this in like something running a Cathar's Crusade or something like that, and then suddenly your 1/1s are going to turn into 6/6s or whatever. Yeah, they're gross. It's very big. The next one I wanted to talk about as well because it's a card that just been out of stock everywhere for so long.
Yeah,
I'm so happy with this reprint. It's Splendid Reclamation. 3 and a green, return all lands from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. That's something I like. That's something I'm super into.
I like the new artwork as well.
Yeah, with Renin 7.
Yep. Yeah.
The last one had Nissa, so it was cool to see like that they did something different, especially with a planeswalker that is really interesting and kind of fits more of the theme.
Yeah,
Ren's... Though she really doesn't care about her trees, hence why they're numbered.
Yeah, Ren's crazy. I like Ren.
I like the next one, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Astensia Uprising. 2 red for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, create a 1/1 red human creature token. Then if you control exactly 13 permanents, you may sacrifice Sensier Uprising. When you do, it deals 7 damage to any target. That's great. I love it. There's so many good 13 cards in this set.
Right. We have 2 lands. Finishing up the cycle or close to finishing up the cycle. We have Storm Carb Coast, which is the blue-red land, and then Sundown Pass, which is the red-white land. Those are, cool. We know what they do. What's exciting is the next card. It is also a reprint, but it's one that I definitely didn't expect for them to reprint.
No.
I thought we'd get a new version. I'm not complaining.
It's a very played card, yeah.
Yeah, it's Thalia, Guardian of Traven. It's one and a white for a legendary creature, human soldier, 2/1 first strike. Non-creature spells cost one more to cast. And she has three different arts. Her new, and all of them are new art, obviously. The new art for the set, the cool showcase art, and then the Dracula art.
I do like the Dracula art.
All of them are really cool. I really like its like blacked out version. Mm-hmm. Also, can we talk about those blacked out lands quickly? Amazing. They're like my favorite lands they printed.
My favorite artist in all of the world is Dan Mumford. So when he got black and white lands in the last set, I've cleaned out almost all my LGSs.
That's just for
them
you?
Up. So like, yeah, just to replace all my basic lands with them.
Oh, they're so cool.
I absolutely love them, but I find it difficult playing with them.
It is kind of hard looking across the table and like, it's like, what colors do you have?
Yeah, but I love them in like how they look. Just, it's just difficult for me to play with them.
I love them. This next one's very cool too. It's Torin's Fist of Angels. Human cleric, 1/1 green, 1 white for a 2/2 with training. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 green and white human soldier token with training, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, he's costed very well and very neat.
The fact that they the fact that they can pump like the tokens come in with training so they can eventually pump him as well is awesome. I think this is like an awesome like one just tiny beaters deck.
Yeah.
You could actually play it in tiny leaders. What a fun game.
Next card we have is another one I'm super, super excited about. It's Udenwald Oddity. It's 2/2 green for a 4/4 beast with trample and haste. You can pay 5/2 green to transform it, and it becomes Udenwald Behemoth. It's an 8/8 with trample and haste, and other creatures you control get +1/+1 have trample and have haste. I love this card.
It's really good.
I have a couple decks that I'm very heavy on creatures, and having a creature that gives my creatures haste in the colors that I'm playing in is massive because I can win the game, you know, the turn that I maybe play this.
You want to take this next one, Lotus? I really like this next one. It's super cool.
Yeah, Voice of the Blessed. White for a 2/2 spirit cleric. Whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on Voice of the Blessed. As long as Voice of the Blessed has 4 or more +1/+1 counters on it, it has flying and vigilance. And as long as Voice of the Blessed has 10 or more +1/+1 counters on it, it has indestructible. They've basically taken a Jarni's Primate and sprinkled MSG on it.
Yeah, crystal meth, Jarni's Primate.
Who's the, is it Transcendent Master? Is that the level up one?
Might be, yeah. Something like that where it gets its like 1/1 then a 3/3/6/6 then indestructible for the last one.
Because I'm pretty sure it's the same. It's like the same thing as this card, but it's level up. Either way, it's sweet. Was what I'm getting at.
I have a lot of decks that really function on life gain, like Linden and stuff, and this is just an obvious inclusion.
Yeah, that card's dope.
Zach, you want this one?
Sure. It's Voldaren Bloodcaster. It's 1/1 black for a 2/1 vampire wizard with flying. When it or another creature you control dies, you create a blood token. Whenever you create a blood token, if you control 5 or more blood tokens, you transform Voldaren Bloodcaster. They become Bloodbat Summoner. It's a 3/3 flying. At the beginning of combat on your turn, up to one target blood token you control becomes a 2/2 black bat creature with flying and haste in addition to its other types. That's really neat.
The Dracula version of it looks so cool.
Yeah, the Dracula version is very neat.
The backside Dracula Lord of Bats.
Yeah.
I really like that. Why is it not legendary?
We have Voldaren Estate as a land. It comes in untapped. It taps for colorless. Pay 1 life. Add 1 mana of any color. Spend it for vampires or 5. Tap it. Create a blood token. This ability costs 1 less to activate for each vampire you control. So you can just to potentially use it to tap for blood tokens. Not horrible in a vampire deck.
No.
I like tribal lands like this.
Yeah.
I mean, this will basically be unclaimed territory in your commander deck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lotus, you want this one?
Yeah, wedding announcement. 2 and a white for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, put an invitation counter on wedding announcement. If you attacked with 2 or more creatures this turn, draw a card. Otherwise, create a 1/1 white human creature token. Then, if wedding announcement has 3 or more active invitation counters on it, transform it. It becomes the wedding festivity enchantment, and creatures you control get +1/+1.
It's a silly anthem. Yeah,
a little bit of card draw possibly for being aggro, a little bit of token creation, and then an anthem.
Yeah, I played that in my pre-release. It was really good.
I like this next one a lot too. Welcoming Vampire, 2 and a white for a 2/3 vampire with flying. Whenever one or more creatures with power 2 or less enter under your control, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. I think that's a phenomenal card.
I like it. There's a special place for it if I get it. If I open it, because there's a deck that would love this.
And then, Zach, you want to end us off here with this last Cleave one?
Yes, I actually really like this card. It's Winged Portent. It's 1 double blue for an instant. You draw a card for each creature with flying you control. If you pay the Cleave cost, which is 4 blue and a green, you just draw a card for each creature you control. Not horrible. Why?
It looks like they've made the bats look like a skull on the silhouette of the moon.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they did.
Ah, that's fine. It wasn't just me.
I love
the flavor text. The flavor text says, no, it's just a murder of crows, not an omen of murder, I think.
We're already kind of long on this one, but do we want to just quickly rip through some of the new ones in the Commander?
I do want to talk about one card that I thought was very cool that they put in Uncommon now. If you guys don't know, it's just Hero's Downfall has now been downshifted to an Uncommon. So 1 double black instant, destroy target creature or planeswalker. It was a rare. So that is something notable. As you're opening your boxes, make sure you're like, or packs, just make sure you're double checking that, because that is a very good card.
Yeah. I didn't know they downshifted that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty cool. There is a common that I'd like to mention that I think is going under the radar, which I think is very good. Serpentine Ambush. It's 1 and a blue for an instant. Until end of turn, target creature becomes a blue serpent with base power 5/5. So if you're playing, for example, Modern and you're doing Infect, on turn 2 you can swing with your Glistener Elf and turn it into a 5/5.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, that's a thing. So that wraps up the base set. So now you want to get into the Commander set, Dan?
Yeah, we'll rip through some of the new ones and stuff. I wanted to start off with this one, which I'm actually very excited to build a deck. It's one of the secondary commanders in the Spirit deck. It's Donal, Herald of Wings, and I love this card. I think the artwork on it is just stunning. It's 2 blue-blue for a 3/3 human wizard. Whenever you cast a non-legendary creature spell with flying, you may copy it, except the copy is a 1/1 spirit in addition to its other types. Do it only once each turn. I think that's just super fun. There's like so many like cool like white cards or blue cards that have flying. I wish that this had been blue and white. That would have made this so good to like be able to copy a bunch of angels. But I'm still more than happy to make a mono blue flying theme deck. I think it's just really, really cool.
I would agree with that, yeah.
The next one we have, I also want to take this one, sorry. It's the face card of the Spirit deck. It's Millicent, Restless Revenant, and I actually really like this card. A 4/4 Spirit Soldier for 5 colorless, 1 white, 1 blue. Costs 1 less for each spirit you control, which is great. It has flying, and then whenever it or another non-token spirit you control dies or deals damage, you create a 1/1 white spirit token. And that's not whenever one or more, so anything that you're like able to sacrifice, like if you have a way to sack your creatures, somebody board wipes, you have 10 spirits, you're getting 10 more spirits. 10 spirits deal damage, you're getting 10 more spirits. I really, really like this card. I think it's super cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that it has like the Caridor type effect where its commander tax will always be reduced by the number of spirits you control, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
A card that isn't new, but I do want to point it out because it's another like notable reprint, is Narcana Revenant. It got reprinted. It's, if you don't know, it's 4 double black for a Vampire Shade 4/4. Whenever you tap a swamp for mana, you add an additional black, and then whenever you can pay a black and it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Narcana Revenant was very expensive for a while, and for me, it's always been very hard to find in my local stores because Commander players just hold on to it. So her getting reprinted and with new art in the Commander set was actually really cool.
That's a very good reprint for the decks.
Yeah. Mm. I know we wanted to talk about new cards, but I felt we'd be remiss if we didn't bring that up.
Lotus, you want this next one, the face card of the Vampires?
Strephan, Mora Progenitor. 2 black-red for a 3/2 flying vampire noble. At the beginning of your end step, create a blood token for each player who lost life this turn. Whenever Strephan attacks, you may sacrifice 2 blood tokens. If you do, You may put a vampire card from your hand onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking. It gains indestructible to end of turn. That's pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
If only there was an Odrek in the right colors.
Right? This next card, awesome. It's Timothar, Baron of Bats, and I am in love with this card. It is a 4/4 Vampire Noble for 4 colorless, 2 black. It has Ward, discard a card. It has whenever another non-token vampire you control dies, you may pay 1 and exile it. If you do, create a 1/1 black bat creature token with flying. It gains when this creature deals combat damage to a player, sack it and return the exiled card to the battlefield tapped.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I'm in love with that card. I think it's such a cool card for vampire decks, and I think the artwork on it is just wicked. Like, that's one hell of a sword he's got. Oh, yeah, like, it's such a cool, like, it's very well drawn. It's very well put together. You get a chance to bring your cards back. I love it.
Yeah, I really like this card. Next, we have Umbra's Fear Manifest. 3 blue and a black for a legendary creature, Nightmare Horror, 1/1. Umbra's Fear Manifest gets +1/+1 for each card your opponents own in exile. Whenever Umbra's or another Nightmare or Horror enters the battlefield under your control, target opponent exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a land card.
Huh.
So this is a buy a box, yeah. Or the set booster exclusives.
No wonder I've not seen it.
Yeah. The next one as well is, do you want to read this one? You said you hadn't seen it, so I'm very happy to see your live reaction to it.
Okay, Wedding Ring, 2 white-white artifact. When Wedding Ring enters the battlefield, if it was cast, target opponent creates a token that's a copy of it. Okay. Whenever an opponent who controls an artifact named Wedding Ring draws a card during their turn, you draw a card. What, in white? Whenever an opponent who controls an artifact named Wedding and gains life during their turn, you gain that much. What the hell is this?
So it's like, it's a super cool card in general, but you can also use it to like mill your opponents out. Like if you're playing a deck where you're like mega drawing, it's not optional to draw when they draw. So you can you can force them to draw the whole time with it.
This is great. This is card draw in white that is good.
It's a great card. I'm unhappy that it is a set booster exclusive. I didn't see it in the main set, and I didn't see it in either of the deck lists. Obviously, it can only be in one because it's white. This is a great card. So there's a lot of places for this. Obviously, in any... Number one, you can use this to make friends. You can say, like, listen, this way, you draw an extra card, I draw an extra card, I'll help you gain your life back and stuff. You keep me safe. It's a great political card, but it's also great, like, if you're playing against someone who's doing like a Loro, a Nethroi, something like that, where they're just gaining insane life, like a Firesong Sunspeaker deck. This is great to keep your life back up with it. And if you have if you've got someone who's just drawing a lot too, like you get their card advantage at 4 mana, that's awesome.
I mean, you could play in an Orzhov deck and give it to someone you don't want to sort of gain life, and you're in a life gain deck and put Tainted Remedy on them.
That's funny. Whenever they gain life, they lose it instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal card. Very unhappy. There's a really good cycle. Have you seen through all these ones yet, Zach? Yeah, there's a new cycle of Soulbound cards. Yeah. But they're only set booster exclusives as well, and I hate that. I buy set boosters, so it's okay, but I don't know, put them in normal packs for us. Come on. I don't know if Angie's Ravager is a new one, but I'm going to read it anyways. It's 2 and a red. It's not a new one.
Nope, it was in the first deck she was in.
Then we're skipping it. We'll go to Arterial Alchemy instead. It's 2 and a red for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, create a blood token for each opponent you have. Blood tokens you control are equipment in addition to their other types, and have equipped creature gets 2/0 and equipped 2.
I think
now that's good.
Yeah.
Old ones. Breathtaker Seraph, if anyone wants to do that next one. Oh, it's the first of the Soulbound one.
Okay. 4 white-white for a 4/4 angel, flying soul bond. As long as it's paired with another creature, each of the creatures have... When this creature dies, you may return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next upkeep. Oh, God, that's good.
That's really good. That's a really good angel. Angel's already a popular, powerful tribe. But, man, that's good. You finally get rid of somehow my Avacyn. I'll bring it right back.
Yeah, that's going in my tribal deck.
That's really, really good. Next one, Zach, you got it?
Yeah, it's Breath of the Sleepless. It's 3 and a blue for an enchantment. It says you may cast spirit spells as though they had flash, and whenever you cast a creature spell during your opponent's turn, tap up to one target creature. I love the support for spirits. That's such a good card. And the art. God, the art for all these spirit cards is exactly what I wanted to see for Innistrad art. It's all, like, spooky.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Mm. There's one of the secondary commanders is based really on, like, tapping in the white deck. And, yeah, like, that cards like that are just so good for it. I don't think this is an old one. Crossway Troublemakers. 5 and a black for a 5/5 vampire. Attacking vampires you control have death touch and lifelink. Whenever a vampire you control dies, you may pay 2 life if you do draw a card. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. I wish it wasn't 6 mana.
Yeah, it's high cost, but that's okay.
Well, we got Nakana Revenant, though. Yeah. So
true. Lotus, do you want to take this one? The Disorder?
It kind of looks like an uncard. Disorder in the Core. X, white, blue, instant. Exile X target creatures, then investigate X times. Return the exiled cards to the battlefield tapped under their owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. It's a good save your creatures kind of thing.
Well, or stop you from attacking me thing.
Yeah. The art just looks like an unset, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
It is. It would be fun to Sundial of the Infinite, that return effect.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, we have Doomweaver, which is another one in our Soulbond set. It's 4 double black for a 1/8 spider horror with reach. As long as Doomweaver is paired with another creature, each of those creatures has, when this creature dies, draw cards equal to its power. Pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Drogskull Reinforcements. We've got 3 and a white for a spirit soldier with melee. Other spirits you control have melee. Prevent all non-combat damage to be dealt to spirits you control.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Guess I'm not Blasphemous acting now.
You want to take this next one, Liz?
Ethereal Investigator. 3 and a blue for a 2/3 flying spirit. When it enters the battlefield, investigate X times, where X is the number of opponents you have. When you draw your second card each turn, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying.
I love clue tokens. I love it so much.
Next up on the docket, we have Glasscast Heart. It's 2 and a black for an artifact. Whenever one or more vampires you control attack, create a blood token. You can pay a black and tap it. Pay 1 life. Create a 1/1 white and black vampire creature token with lifelink. Double black and tap it. You sacrifice Glasscast Heart and 13 blood tokens. Gosh, each opponent loses 13 life and you gain 13 life. Sorry, that was worded very awkwardly.
Is that like 13?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that's a semicolon or not. Oh, it is. Okay. That explains why it was worded that way.
We have Haunted Library, 1 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever a creature an opponent control dies, you may pay 1. If you do, create a 1/1 white spirit token with flying. I really like that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lotus, you want this next one? Haunting Imitation?
Yeah, 2 and a blue for a sorcery. Each player reveals the top card of their library. For each creature card revealed this way, create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 1/1. It's a spirit in addition to its other types, and it has flying. If no creatures were revealed this way, return a Haunted Imitation to its owner's hand.
I really like that card.
That's really good.
This is a set booster exclusive too. Silly good.
It's Hollowhenge Overlord. It's 4 double green for a 4/4 wolf with flash. At the beginning of your upkeep, for each creature you control that's a wolf or a werewolf, create a 2/2 green wolf creature token.
Oh, I need this in Tovala.
Oh, yeah, that one's silly. We have our blue Soulbond mechanic. It's Imperious Mindbreaker. 1 double blue for a 1/4. As long as it's paired with another creature, each of those creatures have, whenever this creature attacks, each opponent mills card equal to its toughness.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very, very strong in like a Bruvac kind of deck.
Well, just this paired with the black spider.
Yep.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, I really, really like this one. I want to read this one, sorry. It's Imposing Grandeur. It's 4 and a red for sorcery. Each player may discard their hand and draw cards equal to the greatest mana value of a commander they own on the battlefield or in the command zone.
That's nice.
I do like that.
Rewards you for having a higher cost commander.
The next one was already errated as well. They printed it wrong. So apparently the preview card is printed wrong. What's actually on the deck is printed right. So it's Camber the Plunderer. It's one of the alternative ones for the black-red deck. It's three and a black. It has partner with Lorene the Divergent. It's a 3/4 lifelink. When its actual is whenever a creature an opponent dies, controls dies, you gain one life and create a blood token. It's not whenever a creature dies, which kind of definitely makes it way weaker.
Yeah. I can see why they do it, but I think it would have been better.
I think it really nerfed that partner pairing to not as fun. The other one's about goading, so it's okay. Do you want to read the goading one here, Lotus?
Yes, Lorene the Diversion, 2 and a red for a 3/3. First strike, pay 2 and sacrifice an artifact or a creature, goad target creature. Yeah, I can see why they did it with this one, but yeah, still.
Yeah, it would be nice if you got the blood tokens from sacking your own creatures.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
But I think this Markov Enforcer is new. Yeah, you want to read that one, Zach?
Yeah. Sure. Markov Enforcer is 4 red for a 6/6 vampire soldier. When Markov Enforcer or another vampire ETBs under your control, Markov Enforcer fights up to 1 target creature an opponent controls. Whenever a creature dealt damage by Markov Enforcer this turn dies, create a blood token.
I think that one's solid.
Yeah.
I think this is a really cool card. Midnight Arsonist, 3 and a red for a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield, destroy up to X target artifacts without mana abilities, where X is the number of vampires you control.
That is really cool.
It's also very cool that they put Midnight Clock in. This is the one I'm the most excited for. Lotus, you want to take this Mirage Phalanx? It's my favorite, one of the Soul Bonds.
Yeah, 4 red for a 4/4 human soldier. As long as it's paired with another creature, each of the creatures has. At the beginning of combat on your turn, create a token that is a copy of this creature, except it has haste and loses soul bond. Exile it at the end of combat.
Yeah.
Obika.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I feel like that'd be really fun in Gyrus as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I like that they're putting Molten Echoes back in the deck. It's not a new card, but...
Yeah. Molten Echoes is very, very good. Occult Epiphany is X and a blue for an instant. You draw X cards, then discard X card and create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying for each card type among the cards discarded this way.
Yep.
Yeah. Is Olivia's Wrath new one?
Yep.
Yes.
4 and a black sorcery. Each non-vampire creature gets -X/-X to end of turn, where X is the number of vampires you control.
It's a solid board wipe, yeah.
Yep.
Port Town and Prairie Stream in the deck makes it look like they are putting a little bit better.
They said they're going to stop putting in things like the Guild Gates, and they want lands that actually are a little bit better.
I love the Guild Gates, but I get it. I'm much happier with these. Don't get me wrong.
We're on a Predator's Hour. It's 1 and a black for a sorcery. Until end of turn, creatures you control gain minutes, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of that player's library face down. You may look at that and play that card for as long as it remains exiled, and you may spend mana as a mana of any color to cast that spell. This card's super good.
What a great 2-mana card. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's insane.
Mm. Ooh, I really, really like this one. The Priest of Blessed Graph, 2 and a white for a 1/2 human cleric. Beginning of your end step, create X 1/1 white spirit tokens with flying, where X is the number of opponents who control more lands than you. I really like that card. Remorseful Cleric isn't new. Oh, these are the ones. So I'm actually going to build this partner pairing. I'm really excited for them. It's Rhonda Geist Avengers, the first one of it. It's 3 and a white, pairs with Timon Youthful Geist. Has Vigilance. Whenever a creature an opponent controls becomes tapped, if it isn't being declared as an attacker, put a 1/1 counter on Rhonda Geist Avenger. Rhoda. I think that that's like a super cool card, like really good with like things like a Verity Circle or any of the like tap their cards down, they don't untap your mono blue Tameo, where like you draw cards equal to the number of tap things. I really, really like this, and you're going to want to just play it. Basically, it's a tap theme style deck, right? Like things that make... like your Thalia, where non-basic lands enter tapped. You guys get the point of what I'm going for here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Lotus, you want to do this Scion?
Scion of Opulence, 2 and a red for a Vampire Noble 3/1. When the Scion or another non-token vampire control dies, create a treasure token. Pay a red, sacrifice 2 artifacts, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn.
I think that's a great use for some of the blood tokens too.
Yeah. It'd be good in Prosper as well.
Yeah. Zach, you want this demon?
Sure. Shadow Green Archfiend is 6 and a black for a 8/4 demon. When it enters the battlefield, each opponent sacrifices a creature with the greatest power among creatures they control. You gain life equal to the greatest power among creatures sacrificed this way. And then it has badness for 2 and a black, and you have to pay 8 life.
Nah, that's a great use for those blood tokens.
That's very solid.
Sinister Waltz is another one of the new ones. It's 3, 1 black, 1 red. Choose 3 target creature cards in your graveyard, or turn 2 of them at random to the battlefield and put the other on the bottom of your library. I think that's a great card.
Yes, not bad.
5 mana, get 2 creatures back. Lotus, you want this next one? Spectral Arcanist.
3 and a blue for a 3/2 flying spirit wizard. When it enters the battlefield, you may cast an instant or sorcery spell with mana value less than or equal to the number of spirits you control from a graveyard without paying its mana cost. If the spell would be put into a graveyard, exile it instead. It's kind of like almost like a Snappy.
Yeah, I like it. Zach?
Storm of Souls, 4 double white for a sorcery. Return all creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Each of them is a 1/1 spirit with flying. In addition to their other types, you exile Storm of Souls. That card is very cool.
I like that one. I like that it doesn't exile your creatures and give you tokens. It just gives you them back.
Yeah. So you can reset them if you really want to.
Yep.
Yeah, flicker them.
We have Stormcur Condemned, 2 black for a vampire horror. Has discard a card. Vampires you control get 1/1 until end of turn. Activate only once each turn.
What?
It's a big one. Lotus, you want this next Stormcurk?
The Occultist, 2 and a red for a 3/2 vampire horror with trample. When it deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card. It has madness for 1 and a red.
Sir, those are both old cards.
Are they?
Yep.
I didn't think they were.
Well, they're cool.
This one has Runo Stormcurk as the quote.
Yeah, that was originally in, whatchamacallit, is it Shadows?
Maybe.
Or it might have been Eldritch Moon, one of the two. But they didn't use.
I did not know that.
I just looked.
Do you want this one, Zach?
Sudden Salvation is 2 double white for an instant. Choose up to 3 target permanent cards in graveyards that were put there from the battlefield this turn. Return them to the battlefield tapped under their owner's control. You draw a card for each opponent who controls 1 or more of those permanents.
I like that.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is Thundering Mightmare.
Yep.
4 and a green for a horse spirit. 3/3 soulbound. As long as it's paired with another creature, each of those creatures have, whenever an opponent casts a spell, put a +1 counter on this creature.
Solid.
It's very gross. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the other partner to the Rota one. It's Timon Youthful Geist, 4 and a blue for a 3/4 spirit. It has flying. At the beginning of each combat, tap up to 1 target creature. Not the strongest pairing, but still good. Oh, they give you a Verity Circle in the deck, too. Nice.
Hey.
They knew what they were about.
They knew what I was building. And yeah, that's basically the new ones. I don't know if there's like new commons or uncommons, but we're not looking at those right now because we've gone on long enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Before we go quickly, what's your thoughts on the set now that we've gone through it all?
I actually found it more interesting than I first went into this. I was like, there's no good legendaries, but now I'm actually super excited to build a few of these cards. And I really don't like the set booster exclusives. I like the cards, I just don't like the set booster exclusives.
I'm definitely really excited about this set. It was nice that there is really only one creature I wanted to build as a commander, but there are a lot of cards I want to pick up to flush out a lot of my other decks. So it makes it a little bit easier to find product and to get product because, like we talked about earlier, there's been kind of like some shipping delays for my LGSs. So being able to pick up stuff is going to be a bit harder for me. So being able to just kind of focus more in on what I want is nice. This set has a lot of awesome things, though.
I like that. I think it's an overall good set, a good set of commander decks. I haven't really looked through the full list, but from what is new and the reprints I saw there, I think it'll be very fun to play in general. Mm-hmm. Like I'm pretty excited to pick them up and edit them up. There's a few of the alternative commanders that I'm pretty interested in, so I'm happy to see that. We'll be doing the story shortly. John and I will go over the story of what goes on Crimson Vow so that everyone who likes the lore is caught up with it, because it's a pretty cool story so far from what I've seen. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Zach, you want to let them know where they can find our stuff?
Sure. You can find all of our social media at insta99.com. It's where you can find everything. You can also come to our Discord, which is also insta99, and talk about anything and all things magic related, deck ideas, strategy, or if you just want to sit around and talk about how great this new set is, we're there to listen. Lotus, you want to take away for the rest of your stuff?
Yeah, also, if you want to buy some merch, you can go to the Insta99 and click on there. Also, there's our Patreon. And also, don't forget, Brewing It Live is coming back with special guest Tika. And we'll be brewing a random deck on the 27th at 8 o'clock GMT.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day.
Bye.